Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clown Ilya Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode. It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hello, everybody. I am just so excited for today's episode because I'm currently wearing a very cute shirt. It says, "Ask me about my favorite Taylor song," and it's very fitting because if you know or have been listening along, you would know I am a diehard Folklore girly. Delete everything from my Spotify, take it all away from me, but Folklore is here to stay forever and evermore. I am so jazzed to be talking all about the Folklore love triangle for all of you today. Now, this is a highly, highly requested topic. We're going to be diving into the three songs that kind of encompass the love triangle participants, if you will, and all of that jazz, including some other little Folklore Easter eggs that I've got for you. So before we dive into that, I want to just touch on some of the recent happenings that have been going on because so much has transpired since Sunday's NFL Kansas City Chiefs game, which, by the way, cannot wait to see what happens this upcoming weekend. But that aside, we have a new photo from inside the evening that Taylor and Travis had. Now, I know there was a lot of discussion in terms of, like, did Taylor buy out the restaurant? Did he buy out the restaurant? Of course, we will never fully know who bought out the restaurant, nor does it really truly matter. But the alleged what's happening there is that Travis bought out this Kansas City restaurant. The rumor was that he bought it out and asked everyone to leave by paying for their meals and saying, like, "Hey, here's all your dinner paid for. Now please leave." I call bluff on that because it doesn't necessarily make sense. Like, a venue or a restaurant has to prepare for a massive influx of customers or guests. And I'm guessing they probably rented out the space well beforehand and perhaps also threw in that they would pay for everyone's dinner before the restaurant shut down. But I don't know. It doesn't really matter, but just so you know, allegedly, Travis bought out the venue restaurant situation. They had a hoop hoppin' time for the night. Apparently, Travis's mom also was in attendance. Reportedly, she left around, like, I don't know, earlier in the evening, but everyone else stayed until 2 a.m. Now, there's also a report that Taylor was wearing a denim dress. And why I want to call out the denim dress, we have not seen a photo of said denim dress, but this would also kind of align with some of the outfits that we've seen her wear recently. If you recall the VMAs, we know she wore that Versace beautiful black asymmetrical gold embellished number. But then for the after party, she switched into that denim upcycled dress that we've also seen Sabrina Carpenter wear. So I thought it was kind of interesting. Listen, maybe it's totally nothing and she's just been, like, in her denim era recently and denim has been speaking to her, which, girl, I feel you. I love a good Canadian tuxedo. But I thought I would call that out because it is interesting, being that we've been seeing a pattern with her apparel recently. Now, she's also managed to take over the ranch dressing industry, which, if you've seen my recent reel, you know that Taylor was eating a chicken tender. You guys, this is how niche we're getting here. This is a little bit wild and kind of hilarious, but there was a fan photo that she took while in the suite at the Kansas City Chiefs game. Looked like she was numbing on a little chicken tender, and she had a little squirt of ketchup and a little squirt of seemingly ranch. And this tweet from what I believe was originated from TS Tour Tips, which if you don't follow them, it's TS Tour, T-O-U-R, Tips. Great account. I think they're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everywhere. They posted, "Oh, looks like Taylor's enjoying some chicken tenders." You know, it was very casual, like they were just calling it out. And the ranch dressing industry had a field day with this. Hidden Valley Ranch completely rebranded. They became Seemingly Ranch for the day, actually for multiple days. I think their handle is still Seemingly Ranch. Heinz Ketchup got in on it and they're like, "We're going to come out with a ketchup Seemingly Ranch collab." It was just hysterical. I mean, what a time to be in marketing, am I right? Like, absolutely crazy. But speaking of companies and collaborations, let's talk about Dunkin' Donuts. If you are a longtime listener or a follower of mine, you would know I am a Dunkin' Donuts girly. I do prefer Dunkin' over my Starbucks, which, if you're a Starbucks lover, star-crossed lover, if you know that little TS reference, that's totally fine too. But allegedly, not even alleged, this is totally a fan rumor and we're all clowning over this, but Dunkin' Donuts posted a reel earlier this week on Instagram. It is two Dunkin' Donuts cups that are like getting filled with friendship bracelet beads. I guess they're just regular beads, but they're definitely friendship bracelet beads. Now they're coming out, it's been confirmed, with a collaboration with Little Words Project, which is a friendship bracelet company. But why I think this is interesting and important is that if you recall at the VMAs, when NSYNC, Taylor was very excited about this, introduced Taylor as the winner of this award, they handed her some friendship bracelets. Now, these friendship bracelets were actually from the company Little Words Project. I'm very familiar with this company. I've actually worked with them before. And Taylor wore them, I think, throughout the rest of the show. So we know that Taylor has Little Words Project bracelets in her possession. Not totally sure if she's in on this collaboration, but the weird part and why I brought up the Seemingly Ranch before this is that Dunkin' Donuts, when they said something is coming Friday, they said seemingly a collaboration is coming Friday. So they were also getting in on that ranch dressing, like seemingly comment. And they, I think, I don't know if there was Taylor Swift audio along with it. Maybe I'm making that up. But regardless, very curious to see what unfolds between the collaboration. A lot of people have, of course, we've talked about like the double or triple album theory, which I think I might need to do an episode on leading up to the release of 1989. But a lot of people also are speculating that Reputation might drop tonight, which is Thursday, or Friday at some point. There's a lot of random theories that have popped up kind of overnight in terms of Reputation just like coming now. I don't totally know, and I don't think that would have anything to do with the Dunkin' Donuts collaboration. I'm not fully bought in on the Reputation theory just yet. Speaking of beads, I wanted to give you guys a little reminder. Don't forget to order your beads. I have a bunch linked on my Amazon storefront. I am definitely making a bunch more bracelets for the Eras Tour film, movie, situation. I cannot figure out what I want to wear yet, but speaking of the Eras Tour film, it just was announced earlier today that on October 11th, there is going to be a Los Angeles premiere for the Eras Tour film. You bet your bottom dollar, I will be pulling every single string that I have in this city to make sure I have a seat at this premiere. Listen, I don't even care. I would love to be in the theater, but I will find out where the red carpet is. I'm not going to tell you guys exactly where I live, but I do live in Hollywood and I live very close to a lot of big venues in terms of where movie premieres are. And I have attended them in the past. So I will be doing my very best to have boots on the ground. Whether I am in full attendance by invitation or just being a full-on stalker, I will do my best to cover that for you guys. So stay tuned in terms of that. I will have as many episodes and as much information as possible that I can get out there to you the week of the Eras Tour film coming out, which, by the way, we're less than 2 weeks out, which is so, so fun. But I digress. Let's switch gears, take it back to 2020, or should I say July 24th. 2020. I remember exactly where I was. I was in a hotel in San Diego. My parents were in town. I drove down there to hang out with them, ended up crashing, slept in like their second bed in their hotel room. And I slept in. My schedule was thrown off. I wake up, open Instagram like one does. And the first post was the Folklore. It was like the announcement that Folklore will be out tomorrow. I literally started sobbing in this bed. My parents are like, "Are you good?" I'm like, "No, I'm actually not." Little did I know, this was the birth of my absolute favorite album that will ever exist. Fully has my heart. So let's do a little Folklore overview to kind of dip our toe in the water before we dive into this love triangle head first. We know it was released on 7/24/2020. Now, quick little note that I thought of when writing this down. 7 plus 2 plus 4, 7/24, July 24th, actually equals 13. I never noticed that. I never noticed that before this. Don't know if anybody else has pointed that out, but fun little fact there. I think what's so significant, there's multiple things that make Folklore significant, obviously Evermore as well, but this was truly a gigantic risk for Taylor. She's addressed this several times, obviously in the Long Pond, always mess up how to say that, Long Pond studio sessions, is that it? In that film, which if you haven't seen it, it is on Disney Plus. Right? Disney Plus, I believe. Absolutely excellent. But she talks about how this was really a departure from her typical pop music. And I think I would categorize this as like indie folk, maybe alternative rock, if you will. Big shift for her, but if you've been to the Eras Tour, you know that she sits there and kind of talks for a moment about how folklore is really cool because it was the first time in her career, or in all of her discography really, where she is not really talking about her own personal experiences, which is all Taylor does. I mean, all of her music is basically a diary, whereas this was a shift into storytelling, and I think it's so fun to listen to because obviously we can run wild with the fan theories, and it's really fun to, like, even though we know it's storytelling and it's fiction, I still think she's drawing a lot from her personal experiences or things she's longing for or things like that. So I do love that aspect of the album. We know it was written during COVID. She talks about this, I believe, right before she sings Champagne Problems on the tour. You can probably find the video on TikTok or YouTube, honestly, but she said she started writing. No, she talks about it, well, during maybe the, whatever. She talks about it at some point. She wrote this during COVID. She said like 1 or 2 days into the pandemic, she was like, I got to do something to keep my brain busy. And that is where we got the birth of this album. Now, it was a collaboration with Aaron Dessner, Jack Antonoff, surprise, surprise. And I really think I would categorize this album as either a love or a hate from a lot of people. Like if you're a 1989 girly, you're probably also not like a diehard Folklore. And that's totally fine. But in my eyes, Folklore really serves as sort of like the precursor to Evermore, and Evermore kind of continues obviously the same musical style, but that storytelling aspect. So obviously if you're a lover of Folklore, I think you're probably also a lover of Evermore, but I think that kind of lays the groundwork for you guys. So let's talk about the love triangle itself. Now, this is sort of, I want to say, like a mixture of an interpretation of like fans and critics, but also Taylor has like somewhat alluded to the fact that there's like obviously storytelling happening here. I don't think she herself has called it the love triangle, and someone correct me if I'm wrong on that, but this is mostly fan interpretation, critic interpretation from reading the lyrics, listening to the entire album. But there are 3 songs in particular that are super interconnected in terms of like relationships and like the storytelling being associated. They're all from different points of views and perspectives and time periods in terms of like the storytelling. But those 3 songs that we're going to be highlighting are Cardigan, Betty, and August. So let's start out with Cardigan. I absolutely love this song. I think it's fabulous. And by the way, I don't own a cardigan, which is so rude of me, honestly. But Cardigan is told from the perspective of a woman, which we'll kind of talk about like the more specifics after I kind of give you a run through of these songs. Obviously, we've all heard it, but I'm giving sort of like high level thoughts. So Cardigan, told from a perspective of a woman kind of like reminiscing, in my opinion, about a past relationship. It kind of seems like it was like a summer love that sort of faded with time. But now that she's older, looking back on it, she knows it probably wasn't the best, but it's still holds a special place in her heart, which I think is really relatable. A lot of people can relate to that. And in the song, she kind of alludes to or talks about being young, and in my eyes, like impressionable is kind of what she's leaning towards. So I want to highlight some of those lyrics to kind of jog your memory. So she obviously says, when you're young, they assume you know nothing. Put me on and said I was your favorite. Talking about the cardigan, really like bringing in sort of vibes of nostalgia, coziness. I think my favorite line, probably off of this entire album, I have 2, To Live for the Hope of It All. And then the second is You Drew Stars Around My Scars. That lyric just packs such a punch in my opinion. And I think it's interesting. When you think of a scar, which maybe this is yucky, but it's this wound. Your body's done the work. You've put in the time. It's healed. But you still have this piece of you that will be a forever reminder that you went through that. That's like what a scar is in the long term, if we're being literal. And then you have this part of you that you've healed. It's now like woven into your story of life or your plot line, if you will. But then if someone comes in and draws a star around it, it's like that could be interpreted in my eyes as 2 things. Either they are bringing to light like negative things that have happened in your past, or maybe they are making this wounded part of you something beautiful by drawing a star around it. So I don't know. I really love that lyric because I think it really leaves, and this is for the whole album, honestly, like so much is left up for interpretation. But I think her lyricism and the way she describes a lot of things, think of like linger like a tattoo kiss or smell of smoke would hang around this long. You know, all of those lyrics really just honestly are like a full on sensory experience, which sounds so silly. It's like just a song. But I think Cardigan does an interesting job of kind of looking back in time as maybe I imagine like a 30 or 40 year old thinking about your summer teenage love is kind of what I get from Cardigan. So that's that. Now let's switch gears, talk about Betty. Now Betty, interestingly, is totally different. This is, I think, her only song that's really like this, but this is a complete story from beginning to end. It's told from the perspective of James, which if you're getting confused, not to worry, I'll recap the three lovers and the triangle after this, but we've got James. He's 17. We know this because in the song, he literally says, I'm only 17. I don't know anything, but I know I miss you. And this song to me, Betty, is literally just a streamline of consciousness. It is James. I imagine him like with his headphones on, walking through a park or down a street, cobblestone street, if you will. And he's just reminiscing and like thinking in his head, like, what did I do? Why am I so dumb? How did I make this mistake? I want to apologize. I want to make it right. And that's sort of what this song is. It's the perspective of James going through this experience in his head, beating himself up, hoping and praying that he can make it right. Now, the person he's hoping he can make it right with is his lover, Betty, hence the name of the song. So the song is named Betty, told from the perspective of James, really hints at something happening between James and Betty. And then we have Inez. And the way Inez is introduced to this love triangle, she's really only touched on a couple of times, I believe maybe even only once, but through the lyric, you heard the rumors from Inez. So you heard the rumors from Inez. I can't even say it without trying to sing it. Heard the rumors from Inez. You can't believe a word she says. So it leaves people to think, or leads people to think, that James and Betty had a fling. It was during summer. I'm already jumping into August here, but like salt air, rust on your door. We know it was a summer romance. We know it came to an end because James screwed up, messed up. He wants to make it right with Betty. Betty has told the story from her end, which is Cardigan, years down the road, but we really like have that sort of middle ground that's left up for question or like interpretation in terms of like what actually happened. Did James get to apologize and make it right and it just didn't work out, and down the road in Cardigan is Betty thinking about it as an older woman, reminiscing? Did, you know, we have no idea. So I truly would love like a continuation of this story, or I think it would be really cool if Taylor did a book where it expanded on these three characters, which by the way would be such fantastic marketing if she was able to like come out with a fiction story and tie in her lyrics and her songs and her discography with storytelling, or even a movie or a TV show. That would be super epic, but I digress. That's Betty. It's James. It's his story. It's him beating himself up. I think you get the point there. Now let's talk about August. August is interesting, again, from a perspective of a woman. So we're back to the female perspective. And this is really recalling summer romance that took place in the month of August. Hello. August, we get it. I think when listening to or reading the lyrics of August, what I really pull from it is that the lyrics are describing this intense, intense relationship and sort of what happens, like seasonal depression at the end of a summer, the end of your summer fling, the heartache that kind of comes along with it. So I think what highlights that beautifully is the lyric, I can see us lost in a memory, August slipped away into a moment of time. So she's referring to both the actual time period of like summer has come to an end, but so has their memories and everything that they made that summer. Insert my favorite lyric. Second favorite, I don't know, I'm so torn. I love both of these lyrics, but wanting was enough. For me, it was enough to live for the hope of it all. So does this mean that perhaps she walked away from this relationship and wanting was enough and she's fine just living, like going on about her life kind of for the hope of it? Like, I don't know. That lyric again is so interesting to me, and I'd love to hear some of your guys' thoughts in my DMs on Instagram in terms of like how you interpret that lyric. I really, like if I'm not a tattoo girly, but if I do get a tattoo, which I definitely think this one would be high on my list, I would love to get to live for the hope of it all, because I really feel like it so beautifully summarizes the female experience, but also just kind of living your life carefree. And I don't know, I feel a lot of feelings when I think of that lyric. I'm sure a lot of you guys do as well. And I think the most relatable lyric probably on the entire album. I don't care if you're a 50, 60-year-old woman or man listening to this, or you're 12 years old. When she says, cancel plans just in case you'd call, I know for a fact, do not even lie to me that you have not done that once in your life. Maybe you haven't fully canceled your plans, but like you're willing to fully rearrange your schedule for just the hope, for the hope of it all, that someone might call or text, because it's 2023, let's be real. So that was a lot. Let's recap. We've got James, Betty, Inez. These are our triangle peeps, our love triangle participants, if you will. We know, which I'm jumping ahead, James, Betty, and Inez are actually the names of Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively's children. Interesting choice. Wonder if she ran that by them before that. Not totally sure, but how epic for James, Betty, and Inez to be like walking around school like, yeah, That's me. Like, that is so, so cool. The bragging rights and brownie points there are absolutely epic. The only other person that can really do that on planet Earth is Abigail, redheaded Abigail. We love her. She's amazing. Her hair is still incredible, by the way. Follow her on Instagram. She's like the most normal person. I think it's so adorable that Taylor and her are still friends all of these years later. But again, sorry, digress. James, Betty, Inez. James made a mistake in his relationship with Betty. He's beating himself up. He's seeking forgiveness. Betty was obviously James' lover. And then Inez, we kind of have to interpret this one on our own, but we know Betty heard the rumors from Inez. Perhaps this is kind of like a fan theory, but maybe James cheated on Betty with Inez. I don't know. Maybe Inez was just like literally someone they walked by the lockers and Inez was talking about it. We really don't know where Inez fits into this love triangle, but a lot of people speculate and why it becomes a triangle is that perhaps Inez was somehow involved in one way, shape, or form. So there it is. That's sort of your recap on the love triangle itself. Now, I thought it would be fun to kind of talk about some of the other aspects that make folklore so, so fun, in my opinion. We obviously know this was a shift from pop, but I think another shift that is interesting to call out is her choice of using black and white imagery for the album. I think that also was an intentional choice just because black and white seems to signify like nostalgia. And I feel like a lot of this sort of teenage romance, summer fling, summer romance, storytelling from all these different perspectives sort of vibe when it comes to folklore in this album as a whole, black and white imagery makes sense. So I think that was an intentional choice and an interesting one. Obviously, I talked about the release date with 7-2-4 equaling 13. Iconic. We love that. And then Womp Womp, I'm going to bring up her ex Joe, but the reason I'm bringing him up is because we have someone named William Bowery, B-O-W-E-R-Y, credited as a songwriter on both Exile and Betty. And why I bring this up as significant is Taylor rarely has people credited as songwriters on any of her songs, but William Bowery was later confirmed to actually just be an alias or a fake name for Joe Alwyn. So he actually helped write both of those songs. So sometimes I wonder when she sings those songs if she feels a little extra pain since he is associated with both of them just by nature of assisting in the writing process. So there you have it, the folklore love triangle, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you guys know I like to end every episode with, I have a better name for it now, Swifty Submissions. How do we like that? I think it has a nice little ring to it. And today's is from Shreya. I hope I'm saying your name right. Shreya P. And she said, hey, so this is not an Easter egg, but just a curious question. Have you seen the quote, not the real Eras tour in the Philippines and their fake Taylor? Not in an offensive way, just found it unique. If yes, what do you think about it? And how do you think Taylor would react if she saw it? I even saw a reel where they brought out a fake Taylor Lautner while Back to December was playing. Okay, Shreya. Yes, we have talked about Taylor Sheesh is their name. Iconic. So, so fun. And I wanted to highlight this specific Swifty submission because I recently saw, now this is totally a rumor, I think Taylor is touring in the Philippines, if I'm not mistaken. And I saw a rumor that apparently Taylor Nation has been in communications with Taylor Sheesh and apparently invited Taylor Sheesh, get this, again, a total rumor, to be an opener, an additional opener when she is in the Philippines. So that would be absolutely iconic. I mean, Taylor Sheesh, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, just do a light Google and it'll all come up. Is essentially a drag queen doing full-on Eras Tour recreations at like shopping malls in the Philippines, and literally tens of thousands of people are showing up and it's become this like huge, gigantic social media spectacle, and it's so, so fun and I love it. But I think the same way she engaged Michael Aurelio, the creator of the Bejeweled dance on TikTok, by inviting him and doing the dance and all of that during the tour, I think it would be a smart marketing move to get Taylor Sheesh involved in some capacity. And unlike the Bejeweled dance, I feel like the only way she could really do that is by literally inviting Taylor Sheesh to be an opener. So that would be absolutely epic and probably would break the internet and all of the Philippines all at once. But anyways, in the spirit of folklore, just wanted to say I truly love all of you to the moon and to Saturn. Cannot wait for this weekend. Hope you have a Travis Kelce jersey either in the mail or on your backs. I was thinking about custom ordering one, if I'm being honest. I thought it'd be cute to get a Chiefs one with Swift and then number 13 on the back. But I think I want to ride out this wave and see if she attends a few more games and how long their relationship lasts before I spend $170 on a jersey, because it seems a little much at this like 3 day mark of them being together. But anywho, love all of you to Moon and Saturn, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.